It's a matter of approaching the conversation from a standpoint of how can I help? And so, you know, if they're at an event, you have certain things in common you can start from. You're both at a networking event. So mm-hmm. you can ask things like, who were you hoping to meet when you came here? Or what would the best introduction for your business be? Or who's your ideal referral? Something like that.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Unlocked Show. I'm your host, Tracy Wilson. My pleasure to be here with you guys today. I can see Michael doing a little bit of a jig as he's listening to our intro music. I always do that behind the scenes. It's always kind of cool to listen to that and a bit of energy going before we kick off the show. Now, what I want to say to you guys this morning, I've got a question for you before we kick off, and that is, have you ever heard of the term, it's not what you know, but it's who you know? I don't know about you, but I've heard that over and over and over again. And throughout my career, that has been, has been thrown around many a time. And if that saying actually rings true to you on any level, then today's episode is an episode that you should not miss. Because my amazing guest today, Michael Whitehouse, also known or AKA known as the guy who knows a guy, or I'm going to say, or a girl or two, knows the importance of building strong and mutually beneficial networks. He's the author of The Guy Who Knows a Guy, which is based on his experience on building really robust networks, starting from basically ground zero. You need to know absolutely nobody and being able to build that up so that you become the person in the know. He's also the host of the podcast, The Guy Who Knows a Guy, and also the Morning Motivation podcast. So, it's without saying that he is a seasoned professional when it comes to being both a host and a guest on podcasts. So I know that you guys are going to be in for a real treat today. Now, he teaches people how to build and leverage their own networks. And if you think about it, most jobs, most promotions, or most business opportunities are actually found through their networking connections. So during today's episode, you're going to learn some really cool strategies that are going to help you to make powerful connections. You're also going to discover the best way to actually make the most of the connections that you already have, even if you have none, and how you need to go about developing the right kind of mindset to be successful at this as you go. So without further ado, I want to welcome the amazing Michael, or the guy who knows a guy, to today's show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I always love being on show. I mostly just go on podcasts, but I can listen to people read the bios and be like, wow, that guy sounds great. I want to meet him. Oh, it's me.
I know, isn't it funny? You know, it's like one would hope that the host actually does do a good job of being able to introduce you, because, you know, in saying that, you've got an amazing background. You've had this really astute career that has brought you to where you are today. And I really do think that when we're talking about, you know, networking and the power of that, you really have got some amazing information to be able to share with our guests. So I'm really looking forward to diving into that and giving people really practical information and skills that they can take away from, even in just this short period of time that we're going to be together, and they can actually start implementing them. So I want to start here. Back in 2014, I know that you had something quite pivotal happen to you. There was a move that you had in your life, and that sort of sounds as if that might have been the thing that started this snowball, so to speak, of really understanding the power of networking. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what happened back in 2014?
Sure. So in 2014, we moved following my wife's job, because at the time I was not working, and I had an idea about starting a business that was, in retrospect, a little bit half-baked. But I had an idea, and I knew I needed a network. I needed to have connections, whatever I was going to be doing. So at the time, I knew not necessarily how networking happened, but I knew where it happened. It happened at networking events. So mm-hmm. I started going to networking events. I actually went to my first networking event in Southeast Connecticut the day before we moved. So I started going to every chamber event, business after hours, business before hours, business during hours, ribbon cutting, hair cutting, line cutting. I would have shown up to the opening envelope. If there were people gathered, I was there. And I didn't really have much to bring to the table, except the connections I was making, because I didn't really have a business at the time. I wasn't making any money. I didn't have much to offer, but I was meeting people, and I was meeting people at a substantial rate. So I'd meet someone. I'd be like, oh, do you know this other person I know? Assuming they would, because, you know, they've been here 50 years. The other person's been here 50 years, and they're both notable people. They must know each other, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out no, because, you know, they live 5 miles apart. So there's a river between them. How would they know each other? So I started making these connections between and among movers and shakers, and I realized I was doing something that other people weren't doing. I knew how to do it, and so I wrote it down. And that's what ended up becoming the book, The Guy Who Knows a Guy, is basically the story of how I did it and what I did. And it was something anyone could have done, but I sometimes joke when people say, how you're such a great networker. I say it because I'm not good at anything else. You know, at that time, I had nothing to do but network. You know, I wasn't a graphic designer. I wasn't a bricklayer. I wasn't a house painter. So I just networked more and met more people. So flash forward to 2020, when the pandemic came, because during that time, I made a lot of connections, didn't make any money from it. I worked a series of the wrong jobs, partly because I had not fully embraced my ADHD nature, which I now am actually going to be launching a podcast called Neurodiversity Superpowers, all about the power of embracing what makes you different to be successful. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't embraced it yet. And so I was kind of going from job to, I sold cars, I sold printing, I sold insurance, I sold magazine ads by the time the pandemic came. And the pandemic kind of blew up the job business I had. And I decided I'm not going to start from scratch again in the middle of a global disaster. I'm going to do my own thing. If I got to start over, I might as well do my thing, because nothing else has an advantage over it. And I spent literally a year and a half trying to figure out like what my niche was. You know, should I build a course? Do I build a program? Am I a coach? What am I? And all that time I did what came naturally. I just kept meeting people. I met over 2,000 people between July 2020 and December 2021. And I finally was clued into the idea that some people get paid to make introductions. So that became my business. And now people pay me to network for them, make introductions, have meetings, you know, go to all the events and connect them to people from that who are the fit for them. And it's, you know, it's kind of like getting paid to play video games or drink beer or something like that. Like being paid to network, like that's not work. That's just what I do. You know, they say like, what would you do for free if you didn't have to worry about money? I'd probably just network and meet people all day long. Oh, wait, that's my job now. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the things I suppose we take away from that is, you know, anybody that's listening to today's show that thinks, gosh, what could I be doing? How do I take, you know, some skills and some knowledge that I already have and turn that into a business? Well, Michael has absolutely done that through really understanding what makes you, you know, what makes you tick, what lights your fire in your belly. It's the networking, it's the meeting of people. Now, how do I take that skill and that knowledge and actually turn it into something that I can actually get paid for and turn it into a living, which I think is fabulous in the way in which you've done that.
And actually, if I jump in there quickly, along those lines, one of the things that's, you know, it's been great that I've encountered this success, but then I watch all my friends who are still struggling and they're still, you know, working dead-end jobs and making minimum wage and living paycheck to paycheck. And I realized I've learned a bunch of things I want to share with them. I don't just want to, you know, be like, all right, I got mine. Bye guys. Sorry, suckers. Like I want to be able to bring them with me. I'm actually running a workshop on August 3rd called How the Heck Does Anyone Make a Living in 2022? And it's not part of a funnel. I don't have any program to sell. It's just rather than piecemeal giving a bunch of people advice, I'm having one event where I'm inviting everyone in to share everything I know about. And the core of it is figure out what your gift is, which is usually what you're passionate about, the thing you'd do for free, the thing you'd do if you didn't get paid. And then figure out who has money to pay you for it, because somebody does. Whatever it is that you do, you're a fine art painter. Well, there's some millionaire out there who loves art and is terrible at and can't make it themselves. They'd pay you $50,000 a year to like live in their guest house and just paint all day. Cause then they'd be like, see all that art? I made it. I mean, I didn't make it. I wrote a check for it. The artist made it, but they're my artist. You know, there's someone out there who will do that. So whatever it is that you're gifted to do, there is some way that could be your living. And if you're not following that gift, you know, God didn't give that gift to someone else. He gave it to you. And if you're not doing it, nobody's doing it. So if you're just wallowing in a dead-end job and not living your gift, the world is missing out on that. And I think once you embrace that idea and realize, oh, it's not for me, it's for everyone else that I should be doing this, then it kind of changes it from like, who am I to be able to live the life I want? No, no, no. Who are you not to? It's it's not your gift. You're just holding it. It's the universe, the worlds. You need to share it because you were given it for a reason, which we're a little off track of networking, but that's one of my topics I'm somewhat passionate about. So,
absolutely. But it's so true and interesting because I was actually chatting with somebody else on a podcast that's actually coming up very, very soon about this very thing of like finding the, you know, what is it that you really want to do? What does your life, you know, what do you want your life to look like? And that's essentially what you've done is you've gone, well, you know what? I've had all of these different jobs. They didn't really light my fire, but I know that networking is the one thing that I particularly enjoy doing. And like you say, if I was able to do that every, you know, all day, every day without getting paid, that would be the thing I would actually choose to do that. I would choose to spend my time doing that. And now it's just a matter of, you know, figuring out, well, who's going to pay me for that? How do I sort of tweak it and shift it to create a, that niche market and off you go, which is exactly what you've done. And not only that, being smart enough to go, well, what is this? What's the process that I actually went through here? Can I distill that down into, you know, certain steps, for example, and then writing a book about it, which is also brilliant. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, why do you think, you know, this whole networking piece is so important? So we talked, you know, in the introduction, it was around, you know, most jobs, most even say promotions or, you know, business opportunities come from the people that we either know or that we get introduced to. So how have you seen that be, you know, in your life, how have you seen that be, I suppose, unfold in some of the things that you've done over the years?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's all been networking. Pretty much every job I've had since 2014, with one exception, came through my network in some fashion. Definitely, certainly everything. In fact, even, you know, the first thing that started me on the path to coaching, someone I knew recommended a website to get leads for that when I was still trying to save the magazine business. And with that, I connected with a coach who was attached to the business through a networking arrangement where he got to do the onboarding for everyone who signed up for this automated site. And that gave me a strategy, which then I met more people and started going to events. And, you know, it's funny because it's such a constant thing for me. I sometimes have to be reminded of what other people are doing. I was talking to someone recently who, you know, whose job is to network for a company. Like they're supposed to get out there and generate not so much leads, but generate like relationships for the boss, find the people the boss should be meeting with. And the strategy they were using was like LinkedIn Navigator and cold messaging people and whatnot. And it wasn't working. And I'm like, okay, that could work. Really? And I said, you know, what you do is leverage the contacts you already have and ask them who else they think you should meet. And then go to networking events and do one-to-ones and then ask them who they think you should meet. And then ask them, who should I meet? And, you know, go from there because it's just so much easier. And to some degree, I discovered this because I don't like being uncomfortable and I don't like doing things I don't like doing. You know, you hear this like your success exists outside your comfort zone. I don't know who came up with that. I think a sales manager who wanted their salespeople to work harder because I've found my success exists inside my comfort zone. I don't like cold calling. I don't like pitching and I don't like closing. So I don't do any of this stuff anymore. So I don't cold approach anyone. Everyone I meet is someone who's introduced to me by someone else or someone I meet at an event, sometimes through someone else or sometimes I just show up. But I just didn't want to do those things. And the same thing with once at the events. A lot of people are uncomfortable when they get into that conversation. They're like, oh, how do I approach people at networking events? Because they're thinking, how do I get in there and you know, push myself on them? What's my elevator pitch? How do I make sure they know what I'm selling? I don't do any of that because that's really uncomfortable. What's comfortable?
Yeah.
Helping people. So I go to networking event and I say, how can I help this person? How can I give them an introduction, a piece of advice, whatever? What's their problem? I identify a problem and try to solve it. And, you know, even if you don't know thousands of people, you still probably know enough people to solve a lot of people's problems. So you find out what their challenge is you make an introduction or a piece of advice, or even it's like, oh, you're familiar with this website, you know, this local directory or this thing. You do something to help them. Everyone else at the event's trying to push a business card on them and, you know, push them into a sales call for something they don't need. And you're there trying to offer them solutions to a problem that you have nothing to gain by helping them. Well, once you do that, they're going to reciprocate. They're going to want to give back. And it's, you know, it's so simple, but nobody's teaching it because we still have this 1970s style sales strategy of, you know, always be closing.
And it's that concept, as you're talking about this, it's the mindset shift, right? It's like you're talking about, you know, 1970s, we've been drilled into, you know, understanding or utilizing an old framework that was what's in it for me, as in me, I'm going to go to a networking event to get business for myself. Yep. What you're saying here is we're actually not doing that at all. You know, you're flipping that on its head and saying, now I'm going to go there. I'm going to meet some really cool people, you know, in the first instance. And then secondly, I'm going to just try and do the best I can to help as many people as I possibly can. And through that, we're now offering those solutions that then taps into that power of reciprocity. People are then going to be like, well, cool. You know, Michael really helped me out with that. Now, how can I reciprocate? And then by the time you've got to the question of, well, who else should I be meeting? I can only imagine that they would be very forthcoming with, well, you should meet this person and this person and this person, because I think, you know, based on what you're doing, they could help you, and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them end up buying from me. You know, if I have something they need, then their first interaction was me helping them. And now they're very receptive to learning about it. And they're, you know, and they might be, you know, so what do you do? Oh, really? What's that cost? Oh, how would I sign up for that? As I said, I don't pitch, I don't close. So my sales process is getting in conversation with people, helping them, sharing what I do, not pitching, just sharing. And if they're interested, they'll start asking questions. And they'll start asking questions like, how much does that cost? And how do I sign up? Mm-hmm. And how can I work with you? And if they ask the questions, you know, I'll continue down that road. But it's so much more comfortable than the, all right, let's do a presentation. I got my slideshow and yeah, that's how you sell the magazine. It's a 19-minute PowerPoint presentation that, yeah, I bored myself with it. And there was just no way to maintain energy over that. And half the stuff was totally irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. We're turning up and being yourself and actually having a really engaging conversation makes all the difference, right?
Yeah.
So I want to ask, so to help everybody, because they would be very familiar with, oh, you've got to get your elevator pitch together and, you know, you've got to go to these networking events and pitch yourself. Explain to everybody what's the difference between a pitch and the way in which you do things. Like, what are some of the fundamental differences that they would see, and how do they go about creating a, I suppose it's an offer of solutions rather than a pitch of solutions? How do you do that?
So first, I have an unfair advantage that I'm a professional networker. So if I'm networking with somebody, then I'm showing what I do and I'm demonstrating. So I don't necessarily have to pitch. And in fact, I've had some conversations where I'll connect someone, I'll make an introduction. They'd be like, so what do you do? And I'll say that, just more of it. And that's what I do for my clients. And they're like, oh, cool. You know, it's a demo. So if you're not a professional networker, you don't have that advantage. But still, the same concept applies. It's a matter of approaching the conversation from a standpoint of how can I help? And so, you know, if they're at an event, you have certain things in common you can start from. You're both at a networking event. So you can ask things like, so who were you hoping to meet when you came here? Or, you know, what would the best introduction for your business be? Or who's your ideal referral? Something like that. And the thing is, there is no benefit to you in the first minute of a conversation for them to know anything about you.
Mm.
So if you get them talking, because people like to talk about themselves, and you ask them, you know, so what do you do? Where are you from? How long have you been doing that? What's your, you know, there's all kinds of questions. Yeah, you know, what's your favorite thing about that? How'd you get into it? What are you most passionate about in your business? Whatever it is, you know, ask those questions and work your way to a challenge they have. If you can solve a problem of theirs before they even know what company you work for, then you've created a very different dynamic, because now they're starting to get curious. Who is that masked man who just comes in here and rescues, you know, solves problems? So if you got to create that curiosity and reciprocity so that when the time does come, and they're like, so what do you do? How can I help you? Then at that point, instead of you trying to pitch them, they try to pitch you, but try to pitch each other. No one's listening to anyone because you're just waiting for your turn to talk. They've already said everything they have to say. And now they're saying, so what do you do? And then they're going to listen, probably. Now, there are certainly people, and this happens all the time at local chamber events, who you say, so, you know, who are you here to meet? And they'll say something like, oh, I just want to mingle and meet people in the community. That's your cue to find someone else to talk to, because they're not there for business. They're there to drink some wine and hang out and have a little cocktail party. They might be someone you can engage with, but it's not a conversation I tend to linger in very long. But the people who are seriously there, when you say, who are you there to meet? You know, who are you here to meet? Or what were you hoping to achieve here? They came with some kind of plan. And if they have an agenda, you can help them fulfill the agenda. And then the reciprocity will be built. So you know, don't worry if you can't help someone, because that's on them. I always say, be ready for the networking genie. If a genie were to come up to you and say, I can connect you to it, you know, I am the great genie of the networking lamp. I can connect you to anyone in the world. Who do you need to meet and why? Have an answer to that question, because you never know when you'll meet the networking genie, because networking genies are real. There's all kinds of people who you'll meet who will say, maybe not anyone in the world, but you know, the person who might say, who in the city do you need to meet? Because I know pretty much everyone in the city. Who do you want to meet? Or who at this event do you want to meet? Because I've been going to this for 8 years. I know pretty much everyone in this room. You know, who's the best connection for you in this room? Who do you? I'll introduce you to anyone. If your answer is, I'm just looking to mingle. Oh, okay. I mean, I guess spending $15 to get 2 glasses of wine and some hors d'oeuvres is a pretty good deal. So you might as well do it. But the opportunity there is the business. And so, you know, always be ready with the answer to the question of when someone says, how can I help you? What do you want? Be ready for it. An expression I love is give without expectation, receive without resistance. So first, give without expectation. So how can I help you? How can I serve you? And then when they try to reciprocate, be ready. And the best analogy I heard for why this is important, because a lot of people have trouble with the receive without resistance side. You know, you'd think the giving part would be hard. People are better at giving. They're comfortable with it once they start doing it. But receiving is tougher. You know, how can I help you? Oh, I don't know. I just, it's great to talk to you. So, you know, if I was to come to you and, you know, I brought you a birthday present. I got a nice box and it's all wrapped up and it's something I got that I thought you'd like. And I show up, I'm like, here's a birthday present for you. And you say, oh no, I'm not accepting any birthday presents this year. Well, you didn't do me any favors. I'm standing here like a schmuck holding a wrapped up box with like a bottle of perfume in it or something. I don't have any use for that. I now have to get rid of this somewhere. So when you don't receive without resistance, then first of all, the people trying to help you are like, well, last time I tried to help you. But even on a more metaphysical level, the universe is like, here's a gift. Oh, you don't want a gift? Well, no more gifts for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about, you know, the networking side of things, and let's say, because nowadays there's an opportunity for people to do both offline and online type, you know, connecting, networking, etc., particularly in this world where, you know, we've got things like the internet, we've got this sort of environment where you can connect with people all over the world. What are some of the like, if you're starting out in the networking space and where are some of the places that you think are the most important places to go? Where should somebody start?
So we're talking about someone at dead stop. They've never been to a networking event. Mm-hmm. No idea what to do. One of the easiest places to get started, if you know nobody, you've got, you know, nobody, you have no training, you're just like, oh, I should network. Easiest thing would be is find BNIs and groups like BNIs and visit them, because they're structured. And in a BNI, or there's a whole lot of BNI spinoffs that have a similar idea, each of the members will have 30, 45, 60 seconds to go around and explain who they are and who they're looking for. And ideally, if they do it right, they're being very clear about who they're asking for, which means if you know more than two people, you might know the person they're asking for, which is a really cool trick when you can show up in a group of people that you never met before and make 3 or 4 introductions. But even if you don't, they're going to go around and introduce themselves. You're going to get 30 to 60 seconds to introduce yourself. First thing to remember, don't go over your time because it makes you look amateurish. You don't have to tell them anything important about yourself because they're not going to remember anyway because you're a stranger. But BNI, one of the things that people do is one-to-ones. So they do meetings outside the meeting. So in the meeting is a place for you to learn about everyone in the room. Doesn't matter what you say in your 60 seconds because only a few people are actually really listening or taking notes or remembering. But you can listen to them, learn about them, and say, which of these people do I want to meet? Because most BNI members, if you say, hey, I'd love to do a one-to-one with you and get to know you a little better, we'll do it because that's what they're there for. They're at BNI to meet people and build relationships. So if you say, hey, I'd like to meet you and build a relationship, not to pitch them, don't pitch people in networking meetings, but you do that. And then at the end of the meeting, you say, so who else do you think I should meet? You know, ideally you have something to guide them to, like I'm really trying to get into the real estate space. Who else do you think I should meet? But it could just be, I'm looking to build my network. Who are the best connected people you know who I should meet? Or I'm looking to learn how to network. Who are the best networkers you know that I should meet, that I can learn from? Whatever it is you're looking for, you ask them. And if you're asking for customers, you're going to get a lot of, oh, I can't think of anybody. If you're asking for networking partners, they'll usually know somebody because nobody wants to send someone's going to pitch them. That's super
uncomfortable. What sort of things would you have to do to ensure that you don't come off looking like, let's say, like the douchebag who only wants to get to know me because they know that I know some people who know some people? How do you sort of manage that that process so that it doesn't sound as though you only want to know a particular person to get access to their network?
Well, I mean, most people who know me only want to get to my network. That's what I'm for. I just have a network. I'm just a walking network. But it's not an issue to say, hey, you're really well connected. I'd love to meet with you because I'd love to connect with people you know. It's why. It's you're well connected with a bunch of my prospects. I want to pitch all your friends. That's when it's going to come off as douchey, as you say. But if it's I'm looking to network in this, you know, I'm new to town or I'm new to networking or I'm new to entrepreneur. For whatever reason, I don't have a network. I want to have a network. You seem like you're really well connected. I'd love to meet with you and see if you could point me in the right direction. See if you could connect me to some of the right people. And as a connector, now keep in mind, my business is connecting people. People pay me to connect. But if someone reaches out to me and says, hey, you seem really well connected. I was hoping you could get me started. Then I'm happy to talk to them and get them started. And if they say, yeah, could you connect me like three or four other really good connectors? I would connect them to three or four other really good connectors and say, hey, this guy's looking to build their network. And would you be open to meeting with them and, you know, connecting them with some of the right people? Because that's a compliment. You know, this comes up in mentorship, too. If you approach someone and you say, you are so far, you know, you're so accomplished. I love what you're doing. I feel like I could learn a lot from you. Could I buy you lunch and, you know, learn what I can during the course of that lunch? Or could I buy a cup of coffee and learn what I can during the course of that cup of coffee? That would mean a lot to me. Most people who are successful, really successful, not just some people are financially successful and not really successful, you know what I mean? But most people who are really successful have enough abundance in their heart and their soul to say, yeah, I remember when I was in your place. Sure. Let me see what I can do for you in 30 minutes. Now, I've only got 30 minutes, but it's yours. Let's see how I can help. So if you're honestly trying to connect, not to take, not to pitch, not to sell whatever crap you're selling for the company you're working for, but really because you want to find ways to give and find ways to share and to help and to make other people's lives better, then you'll find people very receptive. And actually, I found this last year. So when I moved to Groton, I didn't know anybody and didn't have anything going on. And in 2021, I was basically in the same place, but on a global scale through Zoom. Same idea. I didn't have a business to speak of. I had like two coaching clients. I was making $500 a month. And I was meeting with these people who charge, you know, $2,000 an hour, who have $10,000 programs. And they'd meet with me for 30, 45, 60, 90 minutes, sharing their advice, sharing their knowledge, sharing their introductions, saying, oh, you got to meet this person. You got to meet that person. That person might have you on their podcast. You know, making all these introductions with no expectation of return. They're just giving. And I'm very pleased I've been able to reciprocate for a lot of these people and help them out. Not all of them, but for many of them. And I try to pay it forward for those that I haven't been able to personally reciprocate. But I think what they saw, and a couple of them told me this later, is they saw I wasn't trying to take. I wasn't trying to pitch. I was coming in and saying, you know, well, all I've got is this pen and this quarter, but if they can help you, I was coming in saying, I got this and this, and I'm here to help the world. And they said, okay, I feel like if this guy got some connections, got some knowledge, got something going, he'd do some good things. And I like to think, I mean, I haven't had one of them come back to me and say I'm so disappointed, so I guess I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, I like to think I've fulfilled that. But if you go in with that just honesty and you know, be honest about your situation, whatever it is. If your business is just getting started, tell them your business is just getting started. If you've been struggling and wandering for years, you're trying to find your place in the world, tell them you're trying to find your place in the world and you're hoping they might be able to help. That authenticity is very powerful, and successful people will, again, not every single one, your results may vary, but most successful people like to help people if they can.
Absolutely. And so I think what you're saying here is that we're starting with, you know, with whatever it is that you're doing when it comes to networking, you want to start with the right intentions. And that intention is to go there and give and come at it from an angle of I'm here to help others and give before I receive, because that the law of reciprocity will kick in at some point. Mm-hmm. The next is be prepared. Be really prepared so that when you go and somebody asks you, so Michael, you know, what sort of people, you know, if I were to refer somebody your way, what sort of person are you looking for? Who's your ideal client? Actually really knowing and understanding what it is that you're looking for, so that that person has a clear understanding of that. And they would then, you know, you're mentally going through your black book, for want of a better word, you know, you're going through your mental black book and you're going, well, I know somebody who needs that, or I know somebody who could help you with X, Y, Z. And then the other is being really honest about, you know, where you're at and what your intentions actually are.
Yeah. And to combine those last two also, you may be in a place where you don't know who your ideal client is. Yeah. You know, for the longest time, I didn't know what my offer was. So I didn't know what my ideal client was. And don't necessarily try to fake it. Like if you're talking to someone and they say, so who's your ideal client? Who's your ideal referral? Say, you know, to be honest, I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I do this. I know I'm great at networking. I'm pretty good at helping people solve problems. But I really haven't even figured out what my offer is. I'm actually still working on that. Because what you may, you know, they may say, okay, well, cool. If you let me know, you know, once you figure it out, email me, let me know. I'll hook you up with some people. Or if, especially if they're in the coaching world, which is where most of my time has been. Or if they're just far enough in business that they have that coaching mentality, then their next step might be like to start going to coaching mode. As I like to say, coaches can't not coach. So if you're talking to a coach and you got a problem, they go into coaching mode. Like you have to tell them not to, and then they have to make a force of will to be like, all right, no coaching. Yeah, like otherwise, so when you're talking to that person who's successful, who's a ears, and they go into coaching mode, listen. Be appreciative because they'll keep going. I'll never forget the conversation I had with someone who, I think he's a $2,000 an hour coach. It's supposed to be a 30-minute call. By minute 71, I'm like, I will stay on this call all night if he keeps talking. Because he went to coach. He's asking questions. What are your goals? What are you trying to do? What's your ideal life? You know, all these kind of things. And I was, you know, getting so much clarity from this. And there's a lot of coaches out there. Not all of them say coach on their business card. There's a lot of coaches out there who are just good people who know a bunch of stuff who will try to help you if you're honest. If you're saying like, you know, to be honest, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm working on it, but I feel that because I don't know what my offer is, or I don't know who my ideal client is, or whatever it is. There's a lot of people who will say, you know, well, do you mind if we work through that? Maybe I can help you. And that's like, there are programs, there's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 coaching programs just to do that. And if you're open to people, they'll do it for you for free.
Absolutely. So, I mean, which is, you know, awesome, because in most cases, people would go and pay thousands of dollars to get to the bottom of that. And if you're in the right place and you're being, you know, open and honest about where you're at, like you say, you're going to have some people that are going to naturally go down the path of helping you to discover what, you know, what you're really about and who it is that you, you know, you're going to be working with. So the next piece of this is, you know, this whole networking and connection piece is built upon what I would call the transference of trust, right? So you've, you know, people are more likely to be receptive to talking to somebody else who has been referred by Michael because I trust Michael. So therefore, I'm likely to trust, you know, the next person, whether it be, you know, John or Joseph or whoever it is that Michael is going to introduce to me. I'm likely to give him some level of trust because he's actually come through Michael. So that being the case, Michael, what is, you know, are there any things that we really need to be careful of when making an introduction to somebody else? Because I can imagine that sometimes it doesn't always go the way that we would anticipate or we plan it to go. What are some of the things that we need to be aware of?
Well, so since I started tracking in mid-November, I've made 905 introductions. That's in the last 8 months. And of those 905 introductions, zero of them have come back and said, I wish I hadn't met that person. So I think that's a statistically significant sample that most of the introductions go well. There's a couple things I do that I think ensure that I maintain that rate. One is I'm very picky who I refer to pitch. So in other words, if you're an insurance agent, you're looking for people to get pitched in their car insurance, I'm not going to introduce you to anyone to get their car insurance unless they're specifically looking for that. So the only time I would refer to someone for, you know, for a sales process to occur is if I specifically say, hey, I know someone who does great work. Like, you know, one of my clients, for example, does great work with social media. And if you just talking to him, he'll do this amazing analysis of your social media. You know, something you would pay $1,000 for, the analysis and strategy session, the whole thing for free, just as part of his sales process. So I'd introduce someone to him after saying, I know this guy, he does a great work with social media and he'll do all this analysis for you, whether you buy or not, would you like to meet him? And then if they say, yes, I would, then I'll make that introduction. But if I think there's any chance someone's going to be pitching someone, then I either ask explicitly for it or I don't ask. So most of the introductions I make are for partners, not for prospects. So I'm always looking to make connections for people who can collaborate in some way. Like, I think you guys could work together. I think you guys could, you know, your audiences are similar. You might be able to promote each other, something like that. The only bad connection I've made in the last 9 months since I've been counting was not actually an introduction. I hosted a summit. And one of the speakers at the summit turned out to be an abusive coach, to put it simply. And somebody saw him at the summit, and because it was my summit, they assumed that he was a friend of mine. And they said, well, he's speaking at Michael's summit. You know, maybe that's just bluster and bravado. He's not bad. They ended up giving him $2,000 getting into the program and then very quickly getting out of the program. Which was not technically an introduction. That was their own choice. They made their own connection. I actually checked. I keep a spreadsheet of, you know, two columns of all the introductions I make, which is how I know how many I've made. And I was very happy to realize I had not made a direct introduction to that person at all. And I think it may have been because I think my gut told me, like, hold off and actually introduce that guy. I invited him to a few places. So he made connections on his own. But I never actually said, hey, you should meet this person. So some of it's just trusting your gut. If an introduction doesn't feel right for any reason, don't make it. Because, you know, you don't have to. But, you know, don't worry about, like, I don't know how they're going to work together. I don't know how it's going to. Sometimes some of the best introductions I make are to people who seem like they should be direct competitors. You know, two people who both make chatbots, two people who both do LinkedIn training, two people who both do money manifestation, whatever. And I sometimes make what I call nemesis introductions. I will email them together and I say, hey, You both make chatbots and you do something pretty similar. I don't understand the nuances of your business, your exact specialties. So it looks like you do the same thing, but I bet there's room for collaboration in there and that you could become great partners. Or you're going to become nemesis and you're going to fight an epic battle through all of time and space. Either way, it's going to be awesome. So let me know how it goes. No one has become a nemesis fighting through all of time and space. So they all just become partners.
Well, I think that's because you've obviously got a knack of being able to find, you know, where's the synergy? And when you find that synergy between the two, you know, you go, okay, well, now I'm going to introduce these two together, and they'll at least be able to have a great conversation about whatever it is that they do, because they're meeting on some common ground, some level of commonality exists between the people that you're introducing. Mm-hmm. So I need to ask you this question then, Michael, and I think you've sort of answered this in the last segment that you just spoke about, but if you know, what sort of people do you work with? Why would somebody come and work with you? And what sort of things could they expect that you would do for them if they were to work with you on a networking or a connection level basis?
Yeah. So my networking concierge clients are people who lack the time and or inclination to network extensively on their own. My ideal clients, they know how to network. I don't want to work with people who don't know how to network because they're going to assume I'm a miracle worker and expect miracles. I don't actually sell money. I sell time. I don't know if you've heard the concept that there's only like five, I can't remember the exact thing, but it's like there's only like five things you sell. It's like time, money, happiness, health, staying out of jail or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't sell money. So I don't say, you know, I'm going to connect you to a bunch of people who are going to make you zillions of dollars. Mm. I sell time and peace of mind. So what I offer my clients is you don't have time to network 30 hours a week like I do. You shouldn't be doing it. You're good at what you do. You shouldn't do what I do. I do what I do. You also don't have time to, you know, maybe you don't want to attend these networking events. Maybe a 3-day networking event doesn't sound appealing to you. It sounds awesome to me. So you hire me. I'm going to go to the networking event. I'm going to meet with 15, 20 people a week. And I'm going to connect you with the 3, 5, 1 that meets the specifications you're looking for. So you don't have to worry about it. So I've actually had my clients say, yeah, I heard about this event. It sounds really great. You're going to it, right? And I say, yeah, I go there. I go there usually. He's like, good, because I don't want to. I'm glad you're going. Find me the right people. I don't want to go. I'm a line in the water for them. So they don't have to worry about that, a fear of missing out, about like, who am I not missing? You know, if you get so deep in your business, you're not networking, then things will pass you by. You know, trends in the industry you'll miss because you're not talking to people and not meeting new people. Potential partners you'll miss. All these things you could miss if you're not out there networking. My clients don't worry about what they're going to miss because I'm sending them a stream of as many as they want to meet. And I've had some of my clients are like, I don't want more than 5 introductions a month. I don't have time to talk to them. Keep it to 5. And that's it. I've never had one say, you don't send me enough. I've had numbers say, you send me too many. Send me less. Because they don't want a torrent of people. They want a curated, you know, I curate, I sift, I meet with dozens and connect them to ones. I could do volume. Like I was actually talking to someone who's considering becoming a client, who they have a JV manager, a joint venture manager. They've got an operations manager. They got a whole team. And so they can meet with as many people as I can send them. If I send them, you know, for that person, if he wants 5 people a week, or if I send him 5 people a week, he's got someone who can meet with them and set up the deals and process more in depth. So that's also an option. But it specifies to what they want. Do they want quantity? Do they want quality? They want, you know, something very specific. And with a lot of my clients, I also use some discretion. So I'm looking for, say, webinar swap partners is the primary mission, the primary goal. But if I meet someone who seems kind of energetically aligned with them, like, I think your vibes are similar, I'm going to make that connection. Or a lot of my clients, they've got their main thing, which, you know, coaching, course creation, something like that. But then they also do real estate investing, or they also do crypto, or they also do nonprofits and they're saving the whales, or they also do, you know, whatever. So while they're charged to me, maybe, you know, find me webinar swap partners. If I'm out there and I find someone who's also passionate about fighting human trafficking, I'm going to make that connection for them because that was a, you know, a diamond in the rough contact. I happened to meet them at an event and they never would have found them otherwise. That's really what I am. I'm their guy who's out there meeting everyone like a, you know, crazy ping pong ball. And they get the benefit of the crazy networking ping pong ball without having to be the crazy networking ping pong ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I can imagine that that would be such a valuable service because of the fact that people, you know, like you say, you're selling time for time poor people, you know, and being able to almost, you know, clone themselves so that they're able to go to these events without necessarily having to go to them. So I love that.
Yeah. One of the things you usually can't outsource. You can outsource sales, you can outsource bookkeeping, you can outsource, you know, but usually networking is something you got to do yourself unless you work with me or one of the, I've only ever met two other networking concierges in all of my travels. So unless you work with me or one of the other two, you can't outsource networking, but to us you can.
Yeah. Which is awesome. So my final question for today is, you know, when, as you're out and like you're saying, God, I've met, you know, 2000 people in a short space of time. How do you keep track of all of them? Like, how do you get, what is it? Do you have a system that enables you to keep track of everybody? And what is the system that you would recommend everybody else uses for this purpose?
So you may not like my answer. My answer is I don't. So I don't remember most of the people I meet. Now, some of this gets into my other passion I haven't got much into is the neurodiversity superpowers concept and the idea that if your brain works different than standard, embrace that and get into it. Mm-hmm. I have ADHD. That means I have poor memory retention. I'm not going to remember your birthday. I'm not going to remember to send you a thank you note. I'm not going to send you brownies. I'm just that level of organization is not something that, I mean, I suppose I could do anything, but the amount of energy it would take is just unnatural to me. So instead, I make connections. So I'll meet somebody, I'll figure out, you know, oh, yo, you should meet this person, this person. I'll make two introductions, and I do take notes. My system is I use Google Docs, and I take notes while I'm talking to somebody. So I do have a document that has some notes about them, so I can go look it up later. But chances are that, you know, if I meet 10 people, I'll remember three of them 2 weeks later. It actually happened, you know, I was at an event recently and Zoom call, I get a private chat saying, thank you so much for all the introductions. And I'm like, you're totally welcome. What the heck is that? And I go check my spreadsheet. I sent them, they're doing a summit, something they needed a lot of a certain type of person. I think it was authors. And I'd sent them like seven introductions. Completely forgot their name, completely forgot what they're doing until I went back and checked the notes. But it did, I know they might be a little bit offended if they found out I forgot them, but they probably wouldn't be too offended because I sent them seven introductions. So, and I'm very upfront about it. Like, I may not remember a conversation I have. I take notes. I try to take action steps right away. The introductions I make go on the spreadsheet, so I remember to make them. One of the things I do for my clients is they end up on my whiteboard. So their names are always up there. Whenever I'm talking to someone, their names are up there. Part of what they're paying for is I never forget them. They're on the whiteboard. Mm-hmm. I used to joke that people pay me to be their friend. Because, you know, my very close friends, I'm not going to forget. Mm-hmm. And I make connections for them. So my clients pay me to be my friend. You know, to be on the whiteboard, to not be forgotten. That's the system. The system is 80% of the people I meet go by. I provide value as much as I can in the time we have. And then I move on because I can't remember 2,000 people. Maybe some people can. I ain't that guy. Which also means for the introverts out there in the audience, the really organized people, introverts often think extroverts are better networkers. It's not true. Introverts are better networkers because introverts, given the choice between sitting at home with a spreadsheet of names and going to an event, will sit in their spreadsheet of names and work it harder. Because if they can avoid meeting more people and do more with that, then they're like, oh, if I go to one event and leverage those connections and not have to go to a second event, I'll do that. Whereas me, if I have a choice between the spreadsheet and the event, I'm off to the event again. And you know, I got a stack of business cards to follow up with. I haven't done it because I got to go off to the next event. So extroverts are bouncing around being like, hey, how you doing? And trying to do what they can in the moment. Introverts are much better at the follow-up and the depth of relationships. And so as an introvert, you can force yourself to make a few contacts and then do what you naturally do, being organized and more in-depth in the follow-up and the engagement, then you're probably going to get better better results than just someone who's naturally gabby and going out and talking to everybody. Because, yeah, they're talking to everybody, but they're not doing anything with it because they forget half the people they meet and they don't follow up.
Well, as you're talking about this, I've getting a few comments that are coming through, and they're asking, you know, so obviously you've got this really amazing gift of being able to do what you do. And there is others that are like, oh my God, I would need to like have the names written down, or, you know, my little black book or something that would help me to remember these people. And it's just reminded me as we're talking about this of a, actually of a business that I had been working with a little bit earlier this year, and they have a really, and I'm not, this is totally impromptu, but I need to mention it because I think based on what Michael's been saying today is that this particular little application that they have is absolutely brilliant for networking. It's called Tapped, T-A-P-T. Go and check it out for those listeners that are here today. It's like a digital business card, but what it does is it enables you to tap on a person's phone whilst you're there and you're networking with them, and it does an exchange, a two-way exchange of information, which enables you to continue to follow up with them further down the track. So it's a really cool little digital product. I would say, like I said, not sponsored. It's just literally come to me now as we've been talking about this, and just something that I really should mention because I think it is a great tool for those people who are out and about really wanting to do this networking thing that Michael is talking about. Yeah, so, guys, I want to say...
But on that, I will say carry physical business cards if you're going out. I went to a networking event recently. I got these cards. I need to follow up with a few of these people. If I tap them, they're in my phone, they're in my LinkedIn, they're gone. There's like they're in there with thousands of people. I have no problem.
Unless you have tapped.
There's a physical piece of paper on my desk that reminds me I need to follow up with these people. Yeah. If it's in my phone, you know how much data is in my phone and on my computer? A lot. And probably and unless Tapped actually has a like here's the people you met and how you need to respond to them, which may or may not prompt me to do it. But you know, if I don't have Tapped, it's not gonna work anyway, because I'd have to download the thing. But physical business cards have not been replaced by any digital tool I've seen. Every digital tool I've seen just adds more things to do. Whereas a business card, I can take the piece of paper, like this one. I took the piece of paper, I wrote a note on the back of who they needed to meet, and then I sent the email making the introduction. Because if I don't have the benefit of a Google Doc on my screen, which I can't just like carry a computer around with me at an event. It looks weird. If I don't have that benefit, then I need, and it's not just, you know, the searchability, it's actually the prompting, you know, cause
and it's finding the thing that really works well for you, right? Like, you know, I mean, I open my drawer, I've got a bunch of business cards, and for sure, when I go out and about, I'm using that too. But yeah, I just, because it come to mind, it's something that I think is a little bit different. For those of you that much prefer to do, you know, you want to have some sort of digital, then go and check out Tapped. But look, I want to say today has been really interesting because, you know, that for the last couple of years, you know, we haven't really had the benefit of being able to go out and do that physical, you know, contact with people at networking events. But now that things are being reopened and, you know, we're seeing the comeback of the physical networking event, I've always loved those. I've enjoyed going to them in the past. And I think it's fabulous that finally, particularly here in Australia where I am, that things are starting to reopen and those sorts of things are happening again, because it does give you a very different level of connection with someone when you're able to, you know, eyeball them, shake their hand and see them face to face. So I want to say thank you very much to Michael for being an amazing guest today. I want to let everybody know where you can go to get more of Michael. If you'd like to learn more about how to, you know, how to network and potentially even utilize his services, then the place to go is to head on over to, it's on the bottom of the screen right here, guywhoknowsaguy.com. And also in Michael's image there, you can head on over and catch up with him. You can also tune into the couple of podcasts that he has. So he has the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast and also the Daily Motivation podcast. And like I said, if you want to hear any more from him or you want to connect with him and have a bit more of a chat about how you can take your networking to the next level, then go to his website and make a connection with him. Guys, I want to say thanks very much for joining me today. If you've got any questions about networking, he's the man to go to over there. actually that direction, or you can connect with me and I can make sure that the message gets back to Michael and he can answer any questions that you have. For now, you guys are going to be able to join back in to another episode of The Unlock Show this Friday at 10 a.m. and also next Wednesday at 10 a.m. And if you prefer to listen to the replays, then you can head on over to YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, Tracy M. Wilson, or Metadime Digital is the other place that you can get all of the recordings of all of the shows that we've done. I think I've lost count. I think this is about show number 180 something odd that we're up to now. So there's a lot of content that you can find on YouTube about all sorts of things when it comes to creating, you know, the business and the life that you want, how to unlock what's inside of you to be able to create an amazing business and life. So thanks very much for joining us for now. And I'm going to say thank you. And as I always say before we tune out on any show, is go and live your life unlocked, because there's just no other way. Thanks very much for tuning in, guys. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.